program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to For the Cause of Christ. Obviously, this is not Pastor Lutz here today. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I'm sitting in for Pastor Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And Pastor Lutz called me this morning and asked if I could fill in for him today. Their church is in the process of installing a new baptistry today. And well, if you know anything about Baptists, a baptistry is it's a pretty major undertaking to install a baptistry. It's not a little font or a little bird feeder type thing, you know, with a little water to sprinkle on somebody. It's a large enough affair that a couple of people can get into and be completely submerged underwater. And you probably can go out and visit the church. The information will be given later on. If you've got questions about baptism and what Baptists believe about baptism, I'm sure Pastor Lutz would be glad to give you some information on that. I'm filling in. Like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Normally, I'm on the air here at 1:30 until 2 o'clock with another program live with Pastor Al, and I'll still be on here for that and invite you to stay tuned for that. And, of course, we'll have open telephone lines at 1:30 for that program. And if you want to make a note of that, 888-677-9673. And I'll mention that hopefully again before the end of the program. But for this program, For the Cause of Christ, I thought I would like to just share a little something here at the start. Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday, and Mother's Day is a special day. And no doubt you've probably heard some of the advertisements on the radio, different programs advertising, you know, go here to buy flowers or to get chocolates and different things like that. And certainly we ought to take some time this Sunday to remember and to honor our mothers. And if you recall, one of the first commandments with promise, the Bible says, is to honor our fathers and mothers. And so I would urge you this Sunday, if you're in the Lakewood area, certainly encourage you to visit the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, with Pastor John Lutz. They'll have a special service this Sunday for Mother's Day, and I know they'll be honoring the various mothers that are in the service. And if you're south of Cleveland rather than east or west of Cleveland, if you're south of Cleveland and you don't have a Bible-believing church to visit, I encourage you to come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, this Mother's Day. And we are located we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. And location is in Northern Summit County in Richfield, and about midway between Akron and Cleveland, right there, 5171 Brecksville Road. We'd love to see you. We, of course, have our services this Friday night. We have informal open Bible study from 7 o'clock tonight until 9 p.m., and we have some light refreshments there. Invite you to come and join in with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word for that open Bible study tonight if you don't have a church home. Also, every Sunday there at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church meets there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Sunday mornings we are studying Praying for the Lost in our morning Bible study at 10 o'clock, and then our 11 o'clock in the morning worship service. I'm preaching through the book of Luke, and then our 6 p.m. Evening service on Sunday nights, I'm preaching currently through the book of Jeremiah. And then I'll be on the air again here on AM 1220, The Word, Sunday night from 11 until midnight with a a live call-in program, late night live with Pastor Al. So gives you a little bit of background on me. And again, certainly want to thank Pastor Lutz and the North Coast Baptist Church for allowing me to fill in for them. And I hope things are going well with their installation of their baptistry today. Well, being Mother's Day coming up this Sunday, I was thinking about something, and I was thinking about various mothers in the Bible, and we all think of different ones, and of course Eve comes to a lot of people's mind. Eve being, of course, the mother of all living, meaning I heard somebody say the mother of all living, and they implied that of all living organisms on the earth. Well, that's not the case, obviously. Eve is the mother of all living, meaning of all the human beings that have ever lived, currently are living. And, you know, it's kind of ironic, just as an aside, they've studied DNA and they've determined, scientists, biologists, geneticists, those that study genetics, have determined that every man, woman, and a child on the face of the planet, doesn't matter where you live, where you come from, what your nationality is, what your ethnicity is, what your skin color is, what your hair color, or IQ is, every man, woman, and child on the planet, they've determined, is the descendant of one woman, and the scientists have nicknamed her Mitochondrial Eve. Isn't that interesting? Science proves that we're all the descendant of one woman. The Bible identifies that woman as Eve. So obviously, she's a notable mother in the Bible. You can read about her in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. And then, of course, chapter 2 and 3 actually be more apropos there. And then, of course, a lot of people think immediately of mothers in the Bible. They think of Mary, the mother of Christ. And, of course, Mary was a young Jewish woman who was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. And before they were married, God placed with her in her the Christ child. She conceived without benefit of a human father, and she had the unique privilege and honor of bringing the Christ child into the world. And Mary certainly is a notable mother. We think about her, and we think about that the Bible says she'd be blessed among women, and certainly she is. But of course, she's just a woman. She's not without sin. I heard somebody try to explain that Mary had to be without sin so that she could bear the Christ child. And the logic really pretty much falls apart pretty completely. And of course, it ignores the fact the Bible says by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Sin came into the world through Adam, and sin passes from the father to the child, not the mother to the child. But and incidentally, that's why Mary had to give birth to Christ. The virgin birth was a necessity because if she had had a human father, then the Christ child would have inherited a sin nature from him. So Joseph was only Jesus' stepfather. Somebody said, well, Mary had to be without sin because if she had sin, Jesus would have had sin. And I actually asked somebody who believed that. I said, well, if only a sinless person can give birth to a sinless person, then that means that Mary's mother would have had to be without sin. And the person looked at me seriously and said, you know, a lot of people believe that. And I said, well, that falls apart pretty quickly because that would mean Mary's mother's mother had to be without sin and Mary's mother's mother had to be without sin all the way back to Eve. And we know Eve wasn't without sin because when you read Genesis chapter 3, Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. And we all know we're descended from Eve. So, Mary was a sinner. She referred to Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. And Mary put her faith in him as her Messiah, and she'll be in heaven. But Mary was not born sinless, nor was her mother, nor her mother's mother, or her mother's mother's mother, ad infinitum all the way back to Eve. So, of course, those are notable mothers in the Bible. But the one I want to focus on right now, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're introduced to a mother that I think a lot of times gets overlooked. And I think her example, she is a tremendous mother that God has given actually two chapters here, 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2, talking about her. And I don't have time to read the entire chapter, or the two chapters, but in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll just read a little bit here. The Bible says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephratite." Now, that's important because he's not of the line of Levi. He's not a Levite. He's the line of Ephraim. And he had two wives, the Bible says here in verse 2. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, here's the conflict that's set up. This man had two wives, and that's certainly never a wise thing in the first place, but he did. And the first wife, Hannah, had no children. The second wife, Penina, had children, and this became a problem. Penina used that to kind of lord over Hannah, and it grieved Hannah that she had no children. Now, Elkanah loved Hannah, and he tried to reassure her of her love. In fact, the Bible says that in verse 5, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary," and that would be the other wife, Penina, "her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." Now, we live in a day today when women don't want to have children. And a lot of women find children an inconvenient thing to have around, and it inconveniences them when they find out that they're going to have children, and they don't want them. But when we look back in the day of Hannah, the mark of a woman was to be able to bear children for your husband. And this was a very important thing. A lot of times today, we don't understand how important that was to them in their day. And really, it's not too far away removed from our day here in the United States, even in America, that to be able to bear children was considered a tremendous mark of womanhood. And of course, after the attack on the family and the attack on motherhood, and remember back in the 60s and 70s when it was almost the women's lib movement to try to make it almost a shame for a woman to want to actually stay home and become a full-time mother and raise children and send them out into the world. And when you think about it, the woman that does that, that's a full-time job. The work that's involved in taking care of the children and raising them and nurturing them and teaching them and attending to their needs and helping them to grow and imparting values and morals and all these things onto them so that they can go out into the world and make a difference. Whenever you think about the nuclear family today, God had designed a family structure. Adam he created, and then he created Eve to be his helpmeet, told them to be fruitful and multiply, meaning to have children. And the very first unit of, if you want to say unit of government or unit of community, I guess you could say, that God created was the family unit, the husband, the wife, and then to have children. That's the very basic organization of our civilization. And with this attacks upon the home and now the attack upon marriage with same-sex marriage and things of that nature, it's an attack not just on the institution of marriage, but it's an attack on civilization itself, because the very first unit that God created, as I said, was the husband and the wife, and they were to have children and raise those children. And we understand today our responsibilities raise our children, nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. So the family, the husband, the wife, and the children, that is the basis of civilization. You need that most fundamental unit if you're going to build any kind of a civilized society. Well, come back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 here, and we have Hannah here, desperate to have children, and year by year, they went up to the house of the Lord. Now, this is before the temple was built in Jerusalem. They went to the tabernacle that was in Shiloh, and Elkanah and Hannah went up one year to Shiloh. Excuse me. And the Bible says here in verse number 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And Eli is a high priest in the temple. He's a Levite, and he's also a judge over Israel. Remember, Israel had judges that God raised up from time to time prior to the advent of the kings of Israel. And the Bible says here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she had vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, up until this point, you might be wondering why I'm singling out Hannah as a honored mother, because she's had no children. But notice what's happened in her life. She's gone to the Lord in prayer. The fact that she's had no children has really, really bothered her. And she's taken her problem to the Lord in prayer, and she's earnestly sought the Lord, and she made God a promise. She said to God that if he would give her a son, that she in turn would give that son over to the Lord. And not just give him over to the Lord, but that little phrase where it says, no razor come upon his head, he was going to be a Nazarite. And it's not a Nazarene. A Nazarite was a person that had taken a vow, and the vow of the Nazarite, no razor came upon their head. They could eat nothing that came from the grapevine. They couldn't eat grapes, couldn't eat raisins, they couldn't eat grape leaves, they could not eat or drink wine, anything that had to do with the grapevine. And so this saying that he would be considered as a Nazarite means that she is totally consecrating him to the Lord. And as she's praying, Eli sees her praying, and he sees her mouth moving, but he doesn't hear the words. And Eli, unfortunately, right away assumes the worst and accuses her of being drunk. And he says in verse 14, how long wilt thou be drunk, and put away thy wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So at least Eli had the good sense to listen to her and to admit that he was wrong. So Hannah responds here in verse 18, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now, I believe her countenance, meaning her appearance, her face, her expression, was no more sad, because I think God spoke to her heart and through Eli perhaps, and gave her assurance that he had heard her prayer and that he was going to answer her prayer. So the Bible says in verse 19 here, and they rose up in the morning early in worship before the Lord and returned and came to their house in to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So she conceives a child. And the Bible says in verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. So God answers her prayer, gives her a son. Now, as you go through the chapter and as time passes, the child grows, she weans the child, and they take her up to Shiloh, and they bring some sacrifices with them. And it says that they brought him to Eli. And in verse 26 here of 1 Samuel 1, it says, then she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, the Lord, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Now, as a pastor, somebody asked me to pray for them, it's nice to have them come back and say, guess what? You prayed for me and God answered the prayer. And that's exciting as a pastor to hear that. And I'm sure Eli was excited to hear that. And then notice what Hannah says. She does not forget her vow. The Bible says in verse 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel stayed in Shiloh with Eli, and year after year, the Bible says that Hannah would make him a coat, and some things and bring them up year after year. But here's the thing. She gave him to the Lord, and over here it says that she lent him to the Lord. And I was thinking about this, and if you think about that, you give some money to the bank, and when you give it to the bank, okay, you put in your savings account, let's say, in a sense, what you've done is you've lent that money to the bank, and they grant you interest on that money that you gave to them. Might not be a whole lot of interest today, but literally, she gave him to the Lord, and the Bible says it's as if she lent him to the Lord. And here's what God did for her. I don't have time to go through all the verses. We're coming up toward the end of the program, but in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, and Eli blessed Elkanah, his wife, and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. You know, 3 + 2 = 5. 5 is the number of grace, so that's pretty good. She lent Samuel to the Lord, and God's grace gave her 5 more children, 3 sons and 2 daughters, but it doesn't stop there. Remember, Eli is an older man, and his 2 sons were wicked men. God allowed them to be killed, and Samuel is the actual one who followed Eli as a judge. Samuel actually was the last judge of Israel. So Hannah loans Samuel to the Lord, gets 3 more children in return, has the honor of being the mother of the last judge of Israel, and it doesn't stop there. You know what else Samuel did? Samuel, as a prophet of God, which is remarkable too, anointed the first 2 kings of Israel. He anointed King Saul, and then he later anointed King David. How about that for a return on your investment? Hannah fulfilled her promise. God was faithful, answered her prayers. And when she gave her son over to the Lord completely, God rewarded her with interest. 3 more sons, 2 daughters, the privilege of being the mother of the last judge of Israel, and the privilege of being mother to the prophet that anointed the first 2 kings of Israel. Now that's a return on your investment, isn't it? And that's why Hannah is one of those often overlooked, but very tremendous mothers that we ought to take note of in the scripture. Well, we're coming to the end of the program, and I want to thank you for listening today. I want to thank Pastor Lutz and North Coast Baptist Church for letting me fill in for him today. And again, my name is Pastor Al Davis of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And stay tuned. I'll be on the next half hour. We'll have some open telephone lines, 888-677-9673. And the format that we have, I talk about current events in light of God's Word and answer questions. So if you've got a question or a comment, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And again, make sure that you do something special for your mother this week. God bless and have a great weekend.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist at sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations